which I didn't mean to say, gets a bad rap. Kelm is the subject of all the jokes and the silly people of Kelm. The people in Kelm are pretty bright. There's a wonderful yeshiva there by one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Saul Salanter, Simcha Zisel Brode, Saba of Kelm. He started a yeshiva which the Prussian authorities visited that was so famous, and they tried to model the entire Prussian educational system in his yeshiva in Kelm. I'm not going to tell you that much about his Musar, but just to appreciate this piece of paper, Musar took a while to become institutionalized. And until it became institutionalized, there were big controversies in Europe about whether to study Musar. It was called the Pulmus on Musar. You can look it up. Big articles being written in newspapers. Shibrilin Musar, fist fights, yeshivas broke up, the whole nine yards. It was a very, very big issue. But until Musar became institutionalized in the early stages, it wasn't part of the curriculum. It's not like you came to yeshiva and you learned Musar. But there were not really secret groups. Not like you had to be secret and clandestine. But there were like groups of people that were the Baalei Musar. There were the Chaburas of Musar. We saw Salanter didn't publish much. He would send letters to his devotees, to his pupils, to his Talmidim. He would mentor. But it wasn't like you walked in the yeshiva, where's the Musar? He had to be part of the group, of the Chabura. So without giving you too much information, because we have so much to discuss today, the Saba of Kelm, not the Saba of Slobodka, Simcha Zisel Brode, one of the three Talmidim where we saw Salanter, probably the one who's known more for intellectualized Musar rather than other forms of Musar, and there are many, 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 many forms of Musar. These are some of the Kabbalos that he and his group of Musarniks and Talmidim willfully accepted in the year 1880 and 1881. Tafresh Mem Aleph and Tafresh. I'm taking you back 150 years to, I think it was in Kelm, although they should have moved to certain points. And this is when they gathered Erev Yom Kippur, or maybe after Yom Kippur, I forget when. So look at Lamed Dalet, the first page. These were their Kabbalos, and they actually had to sign that we are all obligating ourselves to the following commitments. This is a way to establish moral improvement. So on page Lamed Dalet, Lilmod Musar B'chol Yom B'li Neder Al Hemshech HaKabbalah, to learn Musar every day and to continue this Kabbalah. Lishtadel Shehiyat Tfilah Al Derech HaMusar, to daven the way the Musar people should be davening. I don't have time to tell you how Musar people daven, but it was a little different than the regular davening. Three, Likaboa Ma'amar Echache Ragel Befiv. Fascinating. Each of the Baalei Musar would take one Ma'amar Chazal or one Pasuk and repeat it 1,000 times a day. The assumption of Musar is you know what's right here, but still you fail. So evidently the battlefield for Averos is here and very, very deep subterranean. It was pre-psychological, pre-Freud. So we have to find a way to take ideas that we know here and get them here. And one of the ways to do this is not just to know what's right, but to repeat it, and to repeat it 1,000 times, and to scream it, and to shout it, and to bang your hand on the table when you're saying it. Different ways. They didn't have Freudian psychology, so they didn't have the tools to get down to the core of identity and psychology, so they were finding ways to get it in. So to take a Mamar Chazan, to repeat it, Ragel B'Fiv, to say it countless times. Number Dalet, Lach Shov Banetzach. Who would have thought this is a way to think about Musar? Think about eternity. Every sin is a narrow-minded shrinkage into the needs of the moment at the expense of eternity. If you knew what you were giving up every time you sin, you would never sin. For a moment of pleasure, for a moment of need, you're giving up eternity. It's a horrible, horrible exchange, but we lose sight of eternity. So if you think of eternity, and you think of Netzach, and you think of larger value, I talked about this morning, Jewish history, other forms of eternity, you're less likely to sin. Lachshov b'netzach, lisbonein al derech hayadua, to think about eternity the right way. V'amokum hamukshel lezeh, the best time to do that, b'tfilah. Turn the next page, here are some more Kabbalos. Number Aleph, I like recommending this to people, especially when you leave yeshiva. Lihizayer Bekavanos Hashemos HaKadoshim. Sometimes people come to me and they ask me when they leave yeshiva, okay, how should I learn? Where should I learn? Give me good ideas for Sturm. I say, you know what? Unfortunately, again, depending upon where you'll be after yeshiva, I hope you learn an hour, because unfortunately today, if you're not attached to a base matters, even learning an hour to some place, again, depending where you are, but I say, you know what? Before we talk about learning, let's talk about ways to be Oved Hashem outside of learning. So, okay, give me ways to be Oved Hashem outside of learning. So it's very easy. Just have kavana with brachas. Every time you make a shakal, think about Hashem's name. Every time you make a bonnet fasha, think about Hashem's name. Every time you make a asher yatzar, just have kavana. When you say Hashem's name, and you'll have Hashem's name, shakal b'fiv, like Yosef. That's a Rashi and Yosef. Hashem Mito, because everyone heard him saying Hashem's name. Just say Baruch Hashem and Amir Hashem, not sappy. Some people say Amir Hashem three times in a sense, and not in a sappy way, but in a way that Hashem's part of your life. Say Amir Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Just make Hashem part. So, Lizar Be'Kavanah Hashem is HaKadoshim. L'chol HaPachos Gimel Yishon is B'Tfilah Be'Kavanah. At least try to focus on the Kavanah of the first three Tfilos. Gimel, L'Schazik V'Zit Brachos. B'Liman Atar Be'Chamos. Just increase your Torah even a little bit. Now the next year, try to learn a little more Torah. Okay, for you that's easy, right? Increase the amount of Torah you learned in high school. Okay, that's an easy Kabbalah. Most of you will succeed at that this year. But maybe in 20 years, you'll have to say, okay, how much am I learning now? Try to avoid gossiping and Lashon Hara Alpidin. So I just want to take you back to a world in which people are actively thinking about the religious opportunity and spiritual growth, and concretizing it into real brass tacks consequences. Not just theoretics, am I close to Hashem, am I not close to Hashem, but real. So think about each person in their own, one or two things that you hope to accomplish this year, and the answer can't be, I want to improve my skills in learning, because that's a gateway, that's not an end point. If you want to increase your skills in learning to create an interface with Hashem that you feel is going to help you, continue the sense. Now that I feel closer to Hashem through my learning, I'm going to be more, it could be anything. This mitzvah, that mitzvah, this mitzvah, that mitzvah, this davening, that davening. But no, that doesn't appear here. I want to learn Briska Chakiras better. Okay, if Briska is just beginning. I want to learn Briska Chakiras better so that I love Torah more. I want to love Torah. Okay, that itself is an end point. Or that I love Torah more. I can bleed into other areas of Avodas Hashem. I'm going to take you back to people who took this whole process very, 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 very seriously as a lead up to Yom Kippur. The third sheet I gave you as a lead up to Yom Kippur. Let me just borrow the sheet out there. This is a list of the Vidas you'll be saying, the Ashamnus and the Alchets. It's going to be handed out by the Yeshiva, but it's handed out Mincha Erev Yom Kippur. So it's a little bit late to the game, late to the party. There you can already start reading it over Shabbos. My recommendation is twofold. Excuse the pun. First of all, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to ruin you. See what I'm about to do? I'm not going to do it. Fold it. Make a nice, neat fold so that it fits into your machzor. And then it becomes part of your machzor, and then 2 years and 3 years, this should be added to your machzor. Okay, put it into your machzor so that wherever you are, in 2 or 3 years, you take it out, and you'll see I have these old-style I still have the typewriter version from 40 years ago that I was given as a Talmud. So if you want a relic, an artifact, you've got the 1983 version. It's the same text, obviously, but the 1983 version of the Yeshiva's Alche. Okay, that's number two. Number three, here is the crisis, and I desperately need your help. I'm not sure if you'll be able to help. There's a big crisis in the Tarragon family. I'm looking for some help. Unfortunately, you have to come late afternoon Friday because we have a busy day Friday. I'm only get back about 3:30. My wife, as always, prepared enough food over Yom Tov, not just for the Russian army, but for the Polish army, in case they want to join. In case they want to, let's, I don't know, make a peace treaty and have a big meal together. Our house is bursting with cake. My doctor gave me strict orders. I'm not allowed to eat that much cake. So I'm looking for some boys who like cake, who want to come Shabbos afternoon and help me finish off all the cake we have in my house. Okay? We'll have some volunteers, cake eaters. Okay? But you have to come at around 3:30 to 5. Be a lot of cake and soda. I need about 6 volunteers. Any volunteers to come? Cake eaters? Okay. Now, while you're eating cake, if you can help me build my sukkah, I'd very appreciate it. Okay. So it's about coming and eating cake, but it's also about helping build the sukkah. Now, it's also a lot of fun if you're handy and you like playing power tools and you like screwdrivers and saws. Yeah, I'm a power tool guy. You'll see. This is the biggest sukkah you'll see in Israel this year, I can promise you. The biggest private sukkah you'll see. It can fit 130 people sitting. We've done it before. It's my backyard. There are no walls. It's just putting beams. It's very easy. It'll take about an hour and a half. Seriously, I need some help. Normally, I have the guys coming over after share the cake. I mean, there is cake, but come and tell me with my sukkah. So it'll take us about an hour and a half. We'll have to come directly from the buses. I'll drive you back. But that just means that because of the late start, you'll have only about an hour to prepare for Shabbos. So if anyone that raised their hand for the fake out cake, you don't have to come. We're just a way of telling you that there is cake. So I just need to know that there are... Oh, this is being recorded. Okay. Now the authorities, they'll call social welfare on me.